Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Well, hey, this is Tom LeComp.
This is Gavin Durson. Welcome to the Keep It Simple podcast. We're going to follow up our last podcast, which was about unity, with a subject that can be quite divisive.
Yeah. We talked about this about 6 months ago, if you might remember, but there have been recent events. There's been a Supreme Court ruling that now allows for gay marriage in all 50 states. So how does the Christian react to that? How does Simple Church react to that? What's going to happen now? What do you think, Gavin? What's going to happen?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, I'll just say for those of you that are listening that, you know, Tom and I, you know, unapologetically, we definitely both hold to a traditional view of marriage, traditional biblical view of marriage. And we're not really here to debate. We're not really necessarily going to debate or talk about why that is so, the biblical reasonings for this or whatnot. But would certainly be willing to and love to have that conversation, you know, perhaps over the phone or Skype with anyone that would like to do that. And we hope that if you disagree with that, you won't just turn us off right now. But I think that this is a very interesting time in our country, and I think that Simple Church, this decision is one that's going to just it highlights the importance and the need for things like Simple Organic Church to exist. You know, I think the writing is on the wall, if it's not already been submitted somewhere in a courthouse somewhere, that any organized church that's official, recognized by the government, has tax privileges, if you're not willing to go along and you're not willing to agree with this Supreme Court ruling, then you are going to become someone who is labeled an advocate of hate speech, someone that is, you know, it's not just going to be bad names given to you like bigot, homophobe, you know, whatever. But you're going to lose some of your privileges that you have had traditionally in this country, i.e. tax status and things of this nature. That's going to be taken away. I think the writing's on the wall for that. Does it happen? Does it not happen? I don't know. Would it be good for that to happen? It might be. I don't know. But I do know that Simple Church is in a unique and really fortunate spot in that I don't think you really have to deal with those things. I mean, when your church experience is simply a matter of relationship with people gathering together in an informal way, you're not trying to create an organization or something of this nature that needs tax status, then you're an advantage in this situation because you're not, I think, you know, it doesn't mean they're not going to come after you eventually, but you're not first on the list. I mean, there's a lot more low-hanging fruit for people that would want to take away religious liberty in our country and use this issue to do that. So be encouraged in that regard. I really think that, and it's another reason why I expect that there will be more and more people pursuing simple, organic-type church things, not just this issue, but other issues as well. And so, you know, one thing I was having to, you know, and I would just say about this, and you kind of alluded to this too, Tom, and I think there's a lot of different ways, maybe it'll take two podcasts, but there's a lot of different ways I think that this event that's happened in our country affects the body of Christ, and specifically those folks in Simple Church. But I think one thing that's been kind of a thing, I was having a conversation with a guy, actually my wife, who was having a conversation with the family that's been involved with Simple Church that were actually visiting us, staying in our home. And there was a really interesting comment made that she shared with me that I've thought about a lot and we've both talked about, and that is this, is that, you know, we like to single this issue out as an attack on the family, and we like to make a deal of it. We like to kind of freak out about it, and certainly I don't want to diminish that this was a big deal. But the question, the comment was, name something in our culture and in our world today that is not an attack on the family. You know, what isn't attacking the family? What isn't coming up against traditional marriage, traditional honoring the sacred vow of a husband and a wife being committed together and raising a family under the headship of Christ. Like, this is just one, and I mean, and we can single this one out, but there's really, take your pick. Like, everything in our culture, in our world today, is an attack on the family. You know, yeah. I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind.
I agree, and I think it's unfortunate that people would say if we disagree with the Supreme Court ruling or the agenda, that we're hate, that we're full of hate. We hate anyone. You know, Christ calls us to love everyone. We're not going to agree with everyone, but I think it's really unfortunate that. That's characterized by where we are characterized by hate when it's actually out of love that we stand up and make a stand,
yeah,
for the family and for Christ. But yeah, it's a complicated issue. It's known as a third rail, I guess, and it's very volatile. It's radioactive, and yet, you know, Christians are going to have to deal with it. And whether you're in a simple church or an organized church, you're going to deal with it. If you're a pastor, you're going to be asked to do a wedding for a gay couple. How are you going to respond? You know, we've heard about the controversy with the baker that got in trouble for refusing to bake a cake for a gay wedding, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't do it out of hate. They just don't want to participate, and yet they're being punished for that. So, it's coming, I think. But
well, it's coming for businesses, and that's certainly an issue. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things. It'll be interesting to see. But I think, you know, as it relates to the body of Christ and those of us in simple church, I really think there's an opportunity here. You know, it's not any big secret that the church, by and large, those claiming to be Christ followers, has really done a duty job of even just honoring marriage ourselves. You know, so it's, you know, we get up in arms about it, but there's been a lot said about that. And again, I think a lot of those statistics and whatnot are somewhat skewed because, you know, when you look at a statistic of a couple who, for example, prays together with their spouse outside of a mealtime, divorce rates and these sorts of things they're a whole lot different than someone who just says, well, we're Christians and we're married. That divorce rate's pretty much the same as everybody else in the world. So, you know, again, you get into some of these stats, you got to be careful with what you're saying, I think. But that being said, people who say they're a Christian have not generally done a good job of honoring the marriage they say they honor anyway. So there's a real opportunity here, I think, if we really believe that marriage is important, that it was a gift from God, that it's sacred, that God instituted it. He's the one who invented it, and he invented it for the reasons that to demonstrate the love that he has for the church, that it's a picture in many ways of the gospel. Then we really have an opportunity, I think, as the body of Christ, to really demonstrate that in a beautiful way that will be attractive to the world in the years to come, as people start to realize, you know, that a marriage, whether or not you're homosexual or you're heterosexual, that if it's not a Christ-centered marriage that is seeking to honor Him in all things, that it's going to be an empty marriage. And there's been a lot of people, even under the name of Christian, that have found that out over the years. And so it's much more than a contract. If Jesus is not involved in it, then I'm not sure what it is. I don't know that if it's marriage as he designed it, but I think there's an opportunity here, you know, and whether or not we'll step into that opportunity, I don't know.
Yeah, and as we use that opportunity, I hope that we're not single-issue Christians, that this becomes the only issue we ever talk about or what we're known for. I hope that Christians are known for being followers of Christ. That's where the name comes from. And that when people look at us, they don't look at, well, he hates gays or he hates, you know, rock and roll music or whatever it is. He hates, you know, whatever. I hope they look at us and say, there's a guy that follows Jesus. There's a guy that's all about Jesus you know, I don't like him, but he he's about Jesus.
And, you know, it's like my wife and I were talking the other night, and she's reading a book that I've been enjoying kind of hearing her comments on, but I forget the guy's name. He wrote the book. He wrote the song Amazing Grace. Anyways, he has a book that my wife's reading, and he has a great comment in there, and I just think, man, this needs to be, you know, I want this always to be my heart and my position, but he's talking about how essentially that if you've fallen into the pit in your life and you've realized that the only way you can get out of that pit is through someone reaching down and pulling you out of that pit and saving you, that's not, you can't save yourself. The only way you're out of that pit is if someone comes and rescues you from that pit. Then it's pretty hard to look at other people in pits and give you angry at them for being in the pit. I mean, it's almost foolish to think about that, you know? And I think that if you're a Christian, man, you are someone who is very much aware of your depravity and of your sinfulness and of your propensity to do all kinds of heinous things that you don't even agree with that you know, I mean, and so you realize the only hope you have in this life and for certainly eternal life is to be rescued, and you've put your trust in Christ to do that for you, and you're not taking any credit for that. You don't have a leg to stand on that says, yeah, you know, Jesus did this, but I've also done this. So pride and anger towards other people who are stuck in pits all around us, no matter what that pit might be, or you know, it's silly. You know, why would we be angry and have hatred towards people that are stuck in pits like we were? Yeah. And like we can still be if we're not careful, you know, and not if it's not for the grace of God and for Him rescuing us daily.
That's great. I'm glad your wife's reading that book and that you remembered that. So you just described Christianity. You just described, you know, what it's like to be saved. You know,
yeah,
we can't save ourselves, and we're not good enough to win God's favor on our own. And we all have sin.
You know? I think. You know, as it relates to the law of the land, it's going to be an interesting discussion. I've been thinking this for the last couple of years personally, and then seems that it's kind of gained steam. And for a lot of folks, I guess it can kind of seem like a sore loser, probably. It's how it's viewed probably by advocates of same-sex marriage in our country. But I was asked to do a wedding last year in a couple, and they were very adamant that they did not want to sign a marriage certificate. They were very, I guess, libertarian, you would say, in their political views, and they just, in principle, did not believe that it was right to sign a contract with the state for any kind of marriage, because they believed that was something that they wanted to do, that was really just a matter between them and God. And that was interesting for me. I really looked up and thought about it. And the history of the marriage certificate is actually kind of an interesting one. From my study, it seemed to have started not too long ago in our country's history, actually, that you would go to this courthouse to get a marriage certificate. And it seemed to be, from some of the things I read, that it had a lot to do with some of the southern states wanting to make sure that whites and blacks did not marry. Which I thought was interesting. And it was also interesting. Yeah, it was also and there was other reasons too, but that was one of them. And, you know, it was interesting that you learn that, like, in our country up until, you know, fairly recent history of our country, our country's not very old, but most of our presidents of the United States never got marriage certificates. They all, up until this time period, and I don't know the date off the top of my head, but it's not been that long ago, a marriage certificate was essentially a family Bible that had been signed and dated and witnessed by people that were there. That was what was a valid court proof in court. Well, they're married. Here's the proof. They would show the Bible.
Right. I agree with you. I've been doing some ancestry research, and that's a lot of my court, my records back, you know, in the 1800s have been Bible, you know, Bible entries, church registries, things like that. Whoever did the ceremony, They were the ones that did the registration.
So when this couple got married, I'm really great. They may have been listening to Dirk and Charity Joy, and they're in Arizona now and praying for you guys there to hopefully get that God's doing wonderful things in your marriage, and hopefully you're seeing God birth a simple church around you. We've been talking with them about that. But, you know, it really was good for me to really even just think through the marriage thing. You know, most ministers, you even hear them say, you know, by the authority granted to me and the in Kentucky, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And you start to say those things, you start to say, well, wait a minute, like, why is the Commonwealth of Kentucky granting anyone authority to marry? Like, this is not even a matter of a state. This is a matter, it's always been a matter of Jesus only, God only, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you start to look at that and you start to say, well, why, you know, I've been wondering that for a while, like how's the government even in the marriage business to begin with? And there, you're seeing that movement now, and I'm supposed it'll be kind of looked at as being sore losers by folks. But it is an interesting question. And it's always an interesting question to me. You know, like Elvis, some dude named Elvis and dresses up as an Elvis impersonator. You know, he's got to prove to the state that he's an ordained minister, but they'll let him do it, you know, marry people or whatever, you know, when you get, you know, but yet, you know, that's
how I marry people.
Yeah, dress up like Elvis. You can get Elvis to marry you. But you still have to, Elvis has to prove to the state that he's ordained to do it. But that somehow is not an infringement on separation of church and state, but yet a kid that wants to pray at before a football game in a locker room is, you know, we got this really weird, inconsistent view on these things. But the people that are upset about that are all for, like, we need the state to sanction an ordained clergy member, you know, sanction clergy members to do weddings for us. You know, it's just a weird deal. And my feeling is that it is probably a good idea. You know, as I feel like in a lot of things, I find myself becoming more and more weary of government connections and contracts and this sort of thing. I think that that might be a way that perhaps it'll go with governments getting out of the marriage business, which wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Tell me you're not stockpiling food and ammunition right now. So.
No, I'm not, because several of the people listening to this podcast are, and I know they've told me I can come over to their house when it gets that.
Oh, we're just kidding. We're just kidding.
I'm not kidding, probably, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, to each his own in those regards, you know. Well, we're living in different times. People are handling it in different ways. And
well, the last thing I'll say on this subject is, you know, as Christians, we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to be shaped by the Word of God. And if we're letting the culture shape us more than the Word of God, then that's not right. We're to be shaping the culture as to our abilities as Christians, and not letting the culture shape us. So, who is shaping you? Is it the Word of God, or is it the culture? Just to ask yourself that.
That's a great question. That's a great note to leave it on. And man, this will be, I'm sure, a topic we'll address, you know, as things happen. Maybe we'll keep an eye on it. But
we might be addressing this from jail eventually. So who knows? Yeah, it's a very interesting subject.
Thank you guys for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts about it. How is this Supreme Court decision going to affect Simple Church? What are your thoughts? Could God be doing something that's actually going to be very good? Could this be a part of a plan of His? Is this all doom and gloom? What are your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to share those with folks. Send us an email, and if we can read it on over the air, let us know that. If it's more personal, just make sure you say, don't share this. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And even if you got a recorded memo on your phone and email that to us, maybe we can even play it on the podcast. So yep. Hope to see you guys at the Simple Church Conference coming up August 29th and 30th here in Lexington, Kentucky. And for all the info on that, visit simplechurchalliance.com. You can register online and find all the info. It's going to be an awesome time. Hope that you guys can make it. And once again, if you're just new to this podcast, scroll back through the archives. Lots of great discussions on lots of issues. Maybe this is not the issue that's on the forefront of your mind. Maybe it's something like, how do you all deal with kids in Simple Church? We've talked about that. Look through the archives and download some of our previous podcasts, or shoot us a line. We'd call you or Skype with you and help encourage you in person. So thanks for joining us.
Yep. We'll see you next time. And we'll see you at the conference in August.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Gavin Durson.
Hey, and this is Tom LeCompte, and you're on the podcast Keep It Simple.
And we want to tell you guys about something we're really excited about. We want to encourage you and any of your friends, family that are interested in talking about the things we like to talk about on this podcast to really make an effort to join us August the 29th and August the 30th in Lexington, Kentucky for our fourth annual Simple Church Conference. And this year we're really excited to be welcoming back. They came the first year we had the conference, Tony and Felicity Dale, and they're going to be joining us here in Lexington. And it's going to be an awesome weekend. We think that you really will be blessed if you can come. My hope and prayer is that, you know, we want to let people know that you're not alone. And even connecting on a podcast is great, but there's no replacement for meeting some of the people that are also doing this sort of thing. And we really want to encourage you to come if you can.
So we're asking if you want to come, if you're living in Kentucky or Tennessee or Ohio or Indiana, or if you're living anywhere that you can get to us, just come and hang out with us for a couple of days. Enjoy some good food and some great conversations, some good teaching, some good discussion, and just some fellowship in the Lord and some good worship. I think you'll enjoy it, and it's a deal, $25 for the conference. You just have to get here and have a hotel if you want, sleep in your car, sleep in your home, whatever.
Yeah, so you guys can go online to simplechurchalliance.com. That's simplechurchalliance.com. Check that out. There's a conference tab. Click it. All the info's there. We'll get started on Saturday morning, August 29th, about 9 a.m. So if you're coming from a long distance, you might want to plan to come in on Friday night. We'll wrap up on Sunday the 30th around lunchtime, right before lunch. So we're really, really looking forward to meeting some of you guys, being and seeing you there. Hope that you'll check that out. There's a lot more information on the website, keepitsimplepodcast.com. We'll have those up there as well. But simplechurchalliance.com, you can register and pay, and we'll get you signed up. And there's links for hotels in the area if you're coming from out of town. So I hope you can make it August the 29th and the 30th, 2015, Lexington, Kentucky, Simple Church Conference. Hope you can be there.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church Podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.